Fact Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Linda Boss McClellan.
Oh, and it's time to see Bill Murray again.
Oh, I was so excited to see this movie because I've always been crazy about him.
It's called On the Rocks.
On the Rocks.
Not quite as famous as he, but Sofia Coppola, Francis Ford's daughter, right. is the director.
Right. And he did all the Godfather movies. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. I mean, he's legendary.
Famous. Very, very famous.
In fact, the story is probably has the subtle parallel to her life with her dad.
Right. That's what I thought.
Because it is a dad and daughter.
Exactly. Bill Murray plays Felix, a way over the top, charming man. He's a very wealthy art dealer, but he loves luxury and pleasure.
Yeah, he is a Sybarite, and yes. They'll have caviar out on a little picnic.
You're right.
He comes in his Mercedes. He's being chauffeured. I mean, he's just living the high life.
Right, right. That's what he's all about.
And what about her?
And Rashida? Am I pronouncing it? Rashida Jones plays Laura, his daughter. And she is a successful writer, but at the time, she's having a dreadful writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
Most of her time is devoted to taking care of her two young daughters. And her husband is hardly ever at home. He travels a lot and spends a lot of time at the office. He's trying to develop his own company, I believe.
And we're never even told what company it is.
Exactly.
And he's played by Marlon Wayans.
Right.
And just a really good job of playing a young man who's on his way up.
Yes.
And trying to balance the demands of his own job with the demands of his wife, who needs him at this point.
Yeah, he's never home. He never really is home. It's a quiet, unoriginal plot, and I thought the first third of the movie was almost boring.
Okay.
Because not much happens, and it seems to me that it was filmed in kind of a gray, foggy manner. I don't know. But it picks up speed. She finds a bag of women's toiletries in her husband's luggage.
Yeah, there you go.
And immediately she assumes that he's having an affair. She becomes obsessed with it. Well, she's afraid her marriage is going on the rocks.
She's not helped by her dad.
Oh, boy.
Felix, because he sees this as a kind of mystery.
Yes.
Out of the I hear that Coppola was influenced by the Thin Man episodes of the 30s and 40s.
Oh.
And, you know, that couple, that is the sleuthing couple. And he has fantasies about the two of them acting like detectives to find out,
right.
almost as if he wishes to find out that her husband has been unfaithful.
Exactly. They seem to have a good connection with each other. He gives advice and gives her lots of cocktails.
What kind of advice does he give her?
I can't think of anything.
Well, I've got something in mind, of course.
Okay, tell me.
Very chauvinistic.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he opens up by saying something about her wedding and that she'll even after the wedding, she'll belong to him.
That's right. That was the way the movie started.
Yes, that's the way. Voiceover. Right. And he gives her various lectures about men.
Oh, and who could give better advice about men playing around
right.
than an aging playboy who has done nothing but play around?
I know. It's so ironic. And, he's a throwback, of course. He's a throwback to a different kind of guy, a different kind of father, a different kind of playboy.
Exactly.
And you're willing, and because it's Bill Murray, who really doesn't care about much, and who gives you that dangerous anarchy feeling that he's about ready to do anything off the wall.
Right. So charming. It was so entertaining. Anyone he came in contact with on the street or anywhere they were going, especially if it was a woman, he would engage them in conversation and just charm the life out of them.
I know. He doesn't make any difference what woman it is.
Right.
I mean, there was a, remember that one server, I think it was a ballerina?
Yes, yes.
And he was talking her up, and he would just talk about, anyway, which I'm sure a psychologist would be able to parse that for us. But it does come back to his relationship with her, uh-huh. and to the fact that she is so insecure at this point.
Right.
Gee, why do you think? I mean, when you've got a dad like that, charming as he is.
Over the top.
Yeah. And I like, until I thought about it more, I like to think of this as a lovely father-daughter romance.
Aww.
And but really, when you look back at what he's doing here, it's kind of unconscionable.
Yeah.
On what he's feeding her.
Exactly.
And you wonder, what has he done for 30 years of her life?
Right. Where was he when she was
And when
child.
He's with her, was he giving her nothing but this male chauvinist baloney?
My favorite scene is they are attempting to follow Dean, her husband, to see where he's going and who he's meeting. So Felix pulls up to the curb, and this ancient, old, it was an alpha, a red alpha.
Red alpha, yes.
And it's backfiring and stalling. And, you know, Laura climbs into the car, and they race through the streets of Lower Manhattan trying to find Dean. And they're pulled over by a police officer. And immediately, Felix starts to charm the police officer.
Oh, he does.
And he tries to tell him how he had met his father.
Yes.
And went on and on and on. So instead of getting a ticket, he gets helped by the cops to get his car started. They push him on down the street.
And I don't recall if both the cops are black, but at least one is, and the one he charms.
Right.
And so there are those who would like to say there's a certain bit of racism in this film.
Maybe.
It is pretty white.
Yeah.
And then he does con them with his blather, but he is just so... But he's been an art dealer in New York for a long time, so he has both money and...
Yeah, he's very successful.
Right, and he has that success, and he has worked his act so long and so far that it's very difficult to stop him.
Right.
And I think it was in Mexico that she calls him out, doesn't she, on his self-centeredness?
I think so. That one of the scenes in that case was he was singing in front of all these people, and they're all just charmed by him, you know, and he's just singing along.
I mean, he sings early on, I think, in the car.
Right.
And then he sings Mexicali Rose down here.
Yes.
And he fashions himself some kind of a crooner. He's not at all
a
crooner.
He pulls it off.
Right. But boy, does he ever do that very successfully.
Yeah. Their relationship, Felix and Laura's, it's a sweet relationship, but it lacked any true emotional depth for me.
You're right on.
So you wonder, you know, how she agreed to have him help her with this situation with her.
Well, you know, that's a great point, and that's what I like about Coppola so much. She's not going to be linear for her. There are going to be little troughs here and there, mm-hmm. and one of them is a strong bond between father and daughters. And I have five daughters.
Right, you should know.
And I should know. And I should know that there are times when I'm surface and charming, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But there are times when I've had depth with them.
Yeah.
But it isn't always so.
Yeah.
And so I think Coppola catches that, the uneven nature of the relationships. And what you were saying, sure, there are points here where he's positively superficial and not a help to a young woman who's trying to get out of her writer's block and trying to save her marriage.
Exactly.
And dad is really doing his best to sabotage this marriage.
I think so. John, would you call this film minimalistic?
Oh, I think, that's a good word for Coppola. She is a minimalist. If you think back to Lost in Translation, there's not a lot of decoration in this. There's not a lot of... they're only in this film. Jenny Slate plays Vanessa, her friend, who's got all this psychobabble about her own relationships.
Right.
Remember, they're standing in line there.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the most baroque part of this. Otherwise, it's very simple.
That's very simple.
And the dialogue is very simple, which I like, and I think it fits Bill Murray. You know, who's not voluble in any way. He's going to give you a few lines, and that's going to be it. It fits his character perfectly.
But I thought the way they ended the film was flimsy. I mean, they really don't come to any conclusion on resolving the concerns of the story. It just ends.
Yes, yes. And don't you think, at least to me, that reflects the ongoing nature of their relationship, the depth and lack of depth between a father and daughter. It continues. It doesn't end. It doesn't change considerably. It is what it is. And when you accept it, when you accept the fact that she loves him and he loves her in their own ways, I guess the best we can hope for is she's going to get out of her writer's block, mm-hmm. and she's going to be back with her husband. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't really the story. The story was really about father-daughter.
Right.
The story was about men.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you again what I saw in the Amish country on one of those little tin pans in that magic shop. And it said, I know what men like. I just don't think they deserve it.
That's, I forgot about that. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
Oh, Linda Boss McClellan.
Yes, sir.
The film is on the rocks. Two major stars, Bill Murray and the director, Sofia Coppola. What grade would you award it?
I thought it was pretty overly flimsy. I'm going to give it a C because of Bill Murray. I mean, he's the only thing that carries the movie for me.
Yeah, and I'm going to award it a B because it's already won me over just by the fact that we have those two.
Yeah.
And because of the minimalism that you suggested there, I like that. I like that approach because life is not terribly complicated in many ways. It's just uncontrollable. And when you have a dad like that, and when you have a daughter who's in a particular funk and part of her life, this is the way I think it would go. Anyway, on the rocks.
On the rocks.
All right. So
John, why don't you go pour me Tanqueray and On the Rocks.
Thank you, Lenny.